Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Right, well, what am I supposed to say about that? What is anybody supposed to say about that game? That was pathetic. That was awful. I sort of said on Patreon that this was probably going to be one of my first angry, ooh, you're hard, but angry post-game pods. And I think this is, yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and shout and scream and do the whole Arsenal fan TV thing, but I'm really quite annoyed by that. Really, really frustrated with that game. And just, look, that game's been coming. That has been coming. We've had an awful performance against Luton and an awful performance against Nottingham Forest. They were both terrible performances. Two of the worst teams in the Premier League we've struggled to beat at home. And I pointed this out at the time, got called negative by people. And today, we've just been absolutely decimated by Newcastle. And the most irritating thing about it is, I mean, the scoreline is pretty annoying, but the most irritating thing about games like today is the players, honestly, don't look like they care. They really don't look like they care. They had Peter Crouch in the tunnel at half-time saying that the players were coming out of the changing room dejected, they were down in the dumps, all this type of thing. They got a Champions League place to play for. The fourth place was in their hands. What is going on with them? What is going on with this team? What is going on with this side? Why is it? It's just the frustration about this is, it is time after time. How many managers now do we have to see this same scenario unfold under? How many different managers, different systems, different personnel do we have to see Tottenham Hotspur, when things get tough, just give up? Just give up. Just play beneath themselves. This team is not a team that is bad enough in the personnel stakes. And I don't think they are. This is not a team that is bad enough to lose 4-0 in that pathetic, meek fashion like they did this afternoon. It is not. It is a question of mentality. It is a question of mentality. And people can talk about club DNA. They can talk about different things like that. I don't know. I don't know where we draw the line on this. I have a bit of a theory that our chairman, after having, you know, spent the past few years knocking down the old stadium, building a new stadium, one that can put on all these events, that can take us to the next level, blah, 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 all this sort of stuff we've heard, the various commercial partnerships, the whatever that we have that will take us to the next level, already now saying that, oh, actually, no, we need to have more investment if we're actually going to be able to compete. It's not going to be possible for Tottenham to compete. This messaging that continually comes from the top of the club, from the hierarchy of the club, that continues to tell us that we can't compete, that this club that has now got a turnover of £500 million or whatever it is, just can't compete. It surely can't. One of the biggest match day revenues in world football. Huge, great big stadium. Like, it turns a record profit constantly. Right? We apparently can't compete until there's another reason. There has to be a hotel that's built and all this type of thing. And the thing is, I'm not bemoaning the fact that we have commercial interests. I think it's smart. I've given Levy credit for this. But the optics, the messaging that constantly comes from the top of this club is, we can't compete because reasons. It's always this type of damage limitation. There's never any hope. There's never any hope in this messaging. And it comes from the top. It must do. Because how many times do we see this happen? Different managerial systems, different managers, different personnel, different players. Like, it all just comes to this point every single time. And why? Why? We're literally sat fourth place. Well, we were. I don't, for how long, who knows? But we're sat fourth place in the Premier League. We can get Champions League football, right? Yeah, they want to have a little moan. Madison, I didn't take it as a moan. I thought it was quite a good thing he was saying. But he wants to sit there and say, well, we're disappointed we're not in the title race. Great, fine, you're not. Think of that for next year. But now, there's still stuff to play for. There's still a Champions League place to play for. Why are you all so dejected? Why are their heads all drooped? It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening to see them play in the way that they have done today. That second half performance, it was, as my mate said to me, Charlie said to me on WhatsApp, it's an insult. It's insulting to see them go out and play in that way. So meek, so toothless. It's pathetic. And they are better than that. They are better than that. There are issues there, and I'll get on to certain players and things like that. But this team's decent. And I said it last week that we didn't really show up against Nottingham Forest. We managed to beat them by sheer virtue of the fact we got better players than Nottingham Forest. And a similar thing happened against Luton. Luton played really well. Luton played good football. People said to me, no, you're giving them too much credit. We should have beaten. Any other day we beat Luton 5-6-0. What are you going on about? Luton just came and defended. I don't think they did. Luton played football. Luton played football with some purpose, with some desire. What are we doing? I don't get it. I don't understand how we continue, whether or not we are. Look, part of this problem with Tottenham is that we are a club that's in this limbo, right? We think we're a club that doesn't win. We can't just turn up and win the Europa League, right? As Chelsea have done in the past few years, as Manchester United have done in the past few years, as Liverpool have done in the not so distant past. I mean, they've won a Champions League, so what the fuck? I mean, Arsenal haven't done it, fine. I don't think City have been in the Europa League in order to win it. But if we're talking about teams around us, there's three examples of teams that have shown up and won a Europa League. Tottenham haven't won it since the 80s, yet most of our fan base and probably most of our players think we're somehow above a Europa League. It would be absolutely seismic for us to win a Europa League, right? But the point is, I don't even know what the point is. I don't even know what I'm going on about at the moment. It's just, we seem to be caught. I'm back with you. We're caught in this place where we think we're better than we are. We think we should be, well, we got to just jump the queue now. We got to go and win the Premier League, right? And if we don't win the Premier League, well, then there's nothing left to play for. We're just all going to be dejected and we're all going to be pissed off about it. Not the fact that the first season of a Kane-less Tottenham, we could finish in the top four. And that would be a legitimately astounding achievement, despite the fact, and I will get onto him, but despite the fact the manager this week is sat there saying, oh, he doesn't care about us finishing in the top four, it should be seen as a massive achievement for Tottenham to get into the top four. And yes, we want to win bigger things. We want to win the league. We want to win the Champions League and all this sort of thing. We're not above it. We're not above finishing in the top four. We're definitely not above playing in the Europa League or trying to win the Europa League. We're not, right? And this type of culture at Tottenham, and it is, there's a sense of hope there. There's a hope of longing. There's a hope of wanting to achieve more. There's a hope of wanting to be bigger than we are. But there's also a sense of unearned entitlement there. It's in the fans. I'm probably guilty of it. You can probably go back and find examples of me saying stuff. Fine, I'll hold my hands up to that. But there's probably a sense of entitlement amongst us. How long has it been since we've won an FA Cup? How long has it even been since we've won a League Cup? And yet here we are saying, I don't want to be in the Conference League. I don't want to be. Last time we were in the Conference League, we got fucking dumped out by a club whose manager was in prison. Again, if we're too big for these competitions, we turn up and we just win it. But we don't do that. right? We can't, we cannot sit here and say we are too big and too good for certain competitions. We can turn on, oh, I don't want to finish in the Conference League. I don't want to be in the Europa League, because it'll derail us trying to win the Premier League. It just sounds all so deluded when we put it that way. And we can talk about, as I have done, about Levy wanting to aspire for more in this. I think we got to demand more. I think we need to demand more of ourselves. We need to start looking at this stuff and saying we're not above winning things like the Europa League. And the reason why I'm kind of fixated on this point is that I think it honestly manifests in, because I'm saying the question I'm asking at the very top of this podcast is, why is it under successive managerial reigns we continue to find these places when things get a bit tough, when things haven't gone our way for a while? Do we start to melt away? Do people start to look dejected? Do heads drop? Do players, you know, the vibes, all that, it all just disappears. It all evaporates. It all goes to shit. Because, oh, we're not going to win the Premier League anymore. Boo-hoo. So there's nothing else to play for. There's fucking plenty to play for. And it's just, I don't know. Today was absolutely bobbins. It was pathetic. It was a pitiful performance today. And we absolutely deserve to lose by more. Newcastle had more opportunities to score even more than they got today. We all watched that game, right? We can all see that. They should have beaten us by more. We scraped across the line against Luton. We scraped across the line against Nottingham Forest. And we didn't do anything. I said I was going to come on to... a lot of people are commenting on this. Humble brag. A lot of people are commenting here. I'll get onto some of these comments in a minute, so I'll make it clear that I'm going to do that. I just want to have a bit more of a wobble on a few different things. Number one. Well, number two, I guess, after all that stuff. It's probably more like number... I don't know, whatever. Shit joke. Timo Werner, right? Got egg on my own face here. Because my whole thing was like, you know what? Actually, I like him. He's a good player. He's got good experience. He's blah, 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 blah. Reasons. Nice guy. Good for the dressing room. All these types of things. Good value for money in this market. So on and so forth, right? I've had a drastic about turn on this now. And I honestly feel it is emblematic of this club and our lack of desire to actually be a serious club. We can give it all the talk, but to actually be a serious club. When I see the juxtaposition between Anthony Gordon today, a player who ultimately, let's be honest, ultimately we balked at the price tag of, and Timo Werner, it's incomparable. It's absolutely incomparable. I would go as far as to say, the hot take on this is, I would go as far as to say it is detrimental to us, to the mentality, to the optics, to everything around the club if we make that Werner deal permanent. Because I think he's a nice guy. I think he's decent enough. Yeah, he's whipped in a couple of crosses against Luton and Nottingham Forest, whatever. He quite simply is not good enough. He's not good enough. And I'm talking about if this is a team that not wants to win the Premier League or wants to win anything, wants to actually be competitive, wants to, in decisive moments, capitalise, doesn't want to continue to have question marks hanging over everything. Oh, if we hadn't lost that game, we'd have won it. Oh, poor us. Always happens to us. If Timo Werner had just scored two of those sitters that he had in the early stages of the game, we would have done better. And if Timo Werner had scored plenty of the other opportunities that have been presented to him at other points, it's the same. It's too many questions constantly. And look, the point was made to me not so long ago about Timo Werner by Phil. You can often hear him on the Thursday pods on Patreon. Phil's sort of point was, Werner's not a bad player. He's not terrible. He's a perfectly good player. However, if we sign Timo Werner, that's one less space in the squad that could be taken by an exciting academy player. Mikey Moore, yes, I know he's very young, but still, this is a player that is apparently banging down the manager's door, banging down the hierarchy's door, because he wants to play football, because he's one of the best young players in Europe. There's clubs all over Europe that are chasing him. Where is the pathway for him? We've got Noni Madueke now, who left us because there was no pathway there, who is now looking like one of Chelsea's absolutely top players, who would be absolutely perfect for this system. Absolutely perfect for this team right now. Perfect. Ideal for it. Homegrown academy player that Chelsea spent, what, 40, 50 mil on this summer, right? Could be absolutely perfect for us. And here we are saying, oh, well, let's bring in Timo Werner, who I know he has all this bad stuff going for him, but he's a nice guy and it'll only cost us 15 million. I mean, let's just sweep under the rug the fact he's getting paid about 150,000 euros a week. And I'm sure he won't take a massive pay cut to come to Tottenham either, if he'll take a pay cut at all. No, no, no. Let's just get Timo Werner because he's a nice guy and he'll cost us £15 million. It's shit. It's just bollocks. It's bollocks. I'm sorry. It is. It's nonsense. We can't do it. It's just... And honestly, please, clip up, find all the things where I've said, I think I've even got a tweet about it, being like, imagine not wanting to sign Timo Werner. I don't have to now. I completely get it. We can't do it. There must be somebody else. There's got to be other targets we can find, other players. We've just been linked with someone like Nico Williams this week. He's got a 45 million pound release clause. Get him in. Get him in. We're a club in London. A huge stadium, huge infrastructure. We've just had a decade of consistent Champions League football, getting into the Champions League final, having players like Son, Kane, Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen shining for us on the big stage, right? We're an attractive prospect. Make players like Nico Williams a good offer. Show the players that we have at the moment that we're a serious team, that we want to try and win something, that we want to try and be better than we are, right? We cannot just settle for this type of thing of, oh, it's a good deal. It's a good deal to get in Timo Werner. Show some of these exciting academy players. Some of these players that we hear about, that we talk about, that people like Lily White Rose on Twitter talk about. Give us constant, in-depth information about. Right? Give them a pathway. Let them come in so we don't have more players like Madueke that end up leaving us and end up playing at Chelsea and being brilliant for them. It's just, I don't know. That's one for me. And Timo Werner's not completely, I know I'm focusing on this. He's not completely at fault for today. I'm not insinuating that at all. But there's just watching him toil through this game really just sort of says, this is so Tottenham. It's so Tottenham to put ourselves in this position again. For years and years and years it will be. At least 2-3 years, if we sign somebody like Timo Werner, for years of being like, well, we've got Werner and he's all right, but why? Why? Why are we doing it to ourselves again? He's got some good stuff, but he's also got really glaringly obvious, massive inefficiencies to his game that we all know exist. So why pretending that they don't? I don't know. There's things like that were irritating. The other thing I wanted to moan about, right, and I understand his point that he wants to do, he doesn't view finishing in the top four as success. He wants to bring actual tangible success to the club. Blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, Ange Postecoglou. You're the manager of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club now, right? You're not at Celtic. You're not at one of the top clubs in any other European country. You're in the Premier League. You're in a club that is a decent enough Premier League side, a top five, top six Premier League side. Whatever your messaging is, whatever your kind of cryptic point behind all of this is, I'm sorry, you don't get to sit there and say that it doesn't really matter or you don't really care about finishing in the top four. Because that's just, it's garbage messaging. And whatever he says, even behind closed doors, he cannot go out and say that. He can't do that. And then we wonder why the players feel like they've got nothing to play for. why they were all walking around with their heads drooped, why they're leaving a changing room. St. James's Park, 2-0 down at half time, right? Why are they not thinking, do you know what, actually, we're better than this lot. Let's shut them up in their own backyard. Let's go out there, let's get them. Why are they leaving the changing rooms at half time with their heads drooped? Coming out feeling like they've got nothing to play for. Don't know, man. Manager, I can't be having that. I cannot be having that with him. I can't. I like him, and I've said this. I like, overall, what he's bringing to the club. I prefer the way we've played in patches this year. However, there are certain things that I'm not as on board with. I can't get behind and be like, yeah, great, Dad, that's brilliant. That's awesome. It's awesome seeing him just go out and say, actually, I don't care about finishing in the top four. These things aren't important to me. Come on, man. Like, it's bollocks. Let's read some of these comments. Dwayne says, how absolutely schooled Ange today. I mean, yeah. Gaztronic says, bad day at the office, but how many of these can we allow before we're allowed to criticise Ange? Exactly that. I mean, it still feels like it's that type of thing where we're just told, aren't we? We're just told, nope, you can't say this about him. You can't say that. You don't get it. You're just being impatient. I don't know. Michael Anderson, it's not an off day or a bump in the road. We've been largely shite for months. Yeah. Just Gems, I only switched on in time to see the fourth goal. What the hell happened? We just didn't show up, mate. We quite simply didn't show up. And that bitching about Ange again, right? No set piece training or whatever the fuck. I don't even know. We don't do any set piece training. We do some. We don't do much. I don't know. Whatever it is, it ain't fucking working. It isn't. I don't change my ways. All that sort of thing. Maybe you need to, mate. Like, I don't know. Because the set pieces, both in an offensive and defensive capacity this season, have been an absolute travesty. Appalling. Like, awful. That fourth goal today was utterly pathetic. Utterly pathetic. Matty C, abject. There is a culture of comfort at the club. I don't even know if it's that. Maybe a little bit, mate. But I don't know. I don't know if we can say that. Owen Lawrence, I'm ready for the season to be over. I'm not fussed between Europa or Champions League, to be honest. I can see the benefits of both. Hopefully we can come back stronger next year. But it's been a tough last few months. Yeah, I think I largely agree with everything you've said there, mate. Max Travaus says, Ange Ball equals ineffectively passing the ball around 30 yards from goal, then concede on counters and set pieces. I don't know if that's... I get what you're saying. I know it's like it's a flippant remark, but I feel like I'm on board with really what he's trying to do. Be proactive, play on the front foot. But this sense of just being completely negligent, and it feels negligent now, right? We don't keep clean sheets. We just don't. This whole kind of we'll score more than you stuff, this Ozzy Ardiles stuff, it's 90s football. Does football work like this anymore? I don't think it does. Crap performances are becoming the rule rather than the exception. I think we need to reevaluate where we are as a team. I don't overly disagree with that. I think we are caught in a bit of a negative funk. I do think we still have a lot of very, very good players, and I think we are capable of being very, very good. I think the main thing for me right now is this idea that we are somehow, I don't know, too good, or because we haven't won the Premier League, that there's nothing left for us to play for, which is kind of the same point twice, isn't it? You know? Darren says the front three lose the ball too easily. That cost us today. Yeah, don't disagree with that. Mickey Bobbin says, holy FK, that was horrible. Yep, agree with that, mate. Jay Green says, shocking performance, very poor in every area. Newcastle were understrength and there for the taking, yet we didn't turn up. I should be used to this by now, with a kind of eyes rolling emoji. Mikey Crummy says, taking off Sun leaves us with a front three that doesn't score, along with a midfield that doesn't score either. I was really, really pissed off. Really pissed off with him taking off Son. I think he was completely throwing Son under the bus there. Completely throwing him under the bus. I've had a quick glance at Twitter. I'm mostly left Twitter now. I can't be bothered. I just wanted to see what people were saying. And I'm already now seeing a bit of the, I actually don't think Son works in this system. Oh, so Son doesn't work in this system. Harry Kane doesn't work in this system. Two of the club's greatest ever goal scorers. Two of the club's best ever players in general. It's their fault, right? It's their fault. It doesn't work. Kane couldn't. It was a blessing in disguise for Tottenham to sell Kane. He's not fit for Ange. Fucking nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's the biggest load of bollocks I've heard. This kind of this keen sense of I and intellectual see football. You a pleb think Harry Kane goal in net equals good. Let me scoff away at you, prole, as I explain to you why it's actually better to have four wingers playing up front as opposed to somebody that can actually just stick the ball in the back of the net. Please explain to us why that is. And please tell me why actually Son doesn't work for Ange Postecoglou either. Bollocks, man. Like, absolutely nonsense. It should have been Werner come off. Move Son out to the left. Give him another go somewhere else. Yeah, he wasn't particularly brilliant today, but at the same time, come on, man. Come on. Absolutely nonsense. He threw him completely under the bus. And Son wasn't happy about it either, you could see. Mickey Bobbins, Mickey, who was quite a Bobbins today. Ange got slapped today. The whole team got slapped. Yeah. Chunky Chef says, with our recruitment only signing nice personalities who fit, are we doomed to be the nice team who never win anything because we don't have enough nasty players? I don't know, mate. I don't really think it's so much about nice players or not. I think a lot of it is down to just whether the players are actually good enough or not, right? Because, yeah, I don't know. People, I'm just having a look. I'm sorry, I know this doesn't make for great listening if you're reading. I'm just kind of reading through. Tim Liu says, I'm sat up watching this appalling display in New Zealand and now I have to go to bed and stew on this awful display. I'm sorry, mate. At least it's midday here. About to go off into the sunshine, have a few drinks and just kind of forget about that one. But I can understand why going to bed. It's the old, spoken about it before, you know, the old Homer Simpson meme of him lying in bed, angry with the sort of duvet half over his face. It's definitely one of those. And Tim Lewis adds on to that, I just don't know how we've gotten worse as the season has gone on. It's weird, isn't it? Because I understood the sort of the road bump we had in the middle of the year. But from that point, it's just, I don't know. It's been awful. It's been terrible. OU Nothing says, I love the pod, mate. I listen to it at work every week. We're shite, though. yeah, thank you, mate. Jonathan Gray, I'm guessing, is talking about my earlier sort of ranting about the Europa League and everything. Spot on. I've never understood why we don't go for the cups and then West Ham go and win a European trophy. Agree. I worked. It's not a humble brag or anything. It sounds more glamorous than it is. I worked at the Europa Conference League last year. So I was in hell, essentially, seeing West Ham win a trophy. They were absolutely buzzing. And in my head, I was like, it doesn't, I don't care about this whole, it's Bobbins, it's the tin pot conference of Europe. It's a European trophy. It'd be quality. We just got to start winning stuff. We're not above it. We just have to start winning stuff. Hacker BPL says, we have Ferraris doing donuts in our team. It's a tactical issue, IMO. Ooh, hot take, mate. Hot take. So that's, I guess, a maybe a bit of a critique of Ange there. I don't know. Maybe. Beatplate says, why is Maddison getting continually rattled over non-issues the past few games? He could have been sent off the last couple of games. Yeah, he could have been. He could have been sent off today again. He should have been sent off for the punch in the stomach. I know that Yates is a bit of a twat and everything, but still, you can't punch an opponent in the stomach off the ball. You just can't do that. And yeah, I think he's just rattled because he's not playing very well. The team's not playing very well. And that's that, isn't it? Dwayne says, an ambitious club does not sign Werner. I agree, mate. I agree. Hacker BPL CPS says Bissouma's an issue. It's kind of getting that way a little bit. If Werner, 4x Gold says, if Werner isn't benched till the end of the season, you'd have to wonder what the hell is wrong with Ange. But anyway, the whole team looks clueless and demotivated. Yep. Mo Lester says, get Ange out. The defence structure is so poor. I've never seen this in the Barclays. I don't know if I'm Ange out yet, mate, but I think there's probably certain things that need to be addressed. That's what I'd say. Idris Jaffery says, if Ange really wants to win the big things, he needs to cut off his nose to spite his face and get rid of his Aussie Nepo baby. Too stubborn. Is that the... what's his name? The old Crystal Palace lad that's doing the set pieces, right? I guess that's what it is. Some people are saying he's open for criticism. LP says, these comments, imagine having to read these out. Give us embarrassing. Give us a bit more than that, LP, mate. Give us your hot take on this. It's not a very good day today, mate. It hasn't been a very good day for a few weeks. It's very easy to continue to say people are embarrassing for getting wound up about Tottenham performances, but it's been years of us being quite crap, really. Who knows? Brian Park says, Sonny needs to stop dropping into the midfield to be involved in the play. I'm not sure if this is a tactical instruction or if he's getting frustrated from not seeing enough of the ball. Yeah, it's a tough one to know, mate. Madison's doing this quite a lot as well. Harry Kane used to do that a lot. I don't really know. I don't really know what you do with Son. I don't know. If he plays on the left, he plays up front. When he plays out on the left, sometimes I think maybe he'd be better utilised up front. And when he plays up front, sometimes I'm like, maybe he'd be better utilised playing on the left. Maybe we need to be more reactive to how the game is going. Because I think Son is the type of player that can cause problems either way. But if somebody sets up in a way to nullify what Son Heung-min's doing from one position, maybe switch him over to the next. Because he is a player that has a level of quality still, despite his increasing years, has a level of quality that means that he can cause problems for any team from various different ways. Didn't work in the 90s. Aussie was a disaster of a manager. Bless him, though. Completely out of his depth. Yeah, I know. You know what I was saying, though. I'm just trying to see. Spurs 4-0 dead. Great, nice one. Julian Big, hello mate, how you doing? Sadly, Son has shown his limitations as a number 9. I love him, but he cannot play with his back to goal. We need a number 9 and a massive number 6 like Essien if they can be found. Agree, Son for Timo. Yeah, maybe, yeah. Just have a look. I'm getting just loads of random like bot accounts now telling me I look old and all this sort of stuff and loads of weird things. So I'm going to stop reading comments there. When people start insulting me, I'm going to stop reading those comments. But let's have a look now. Let's just have a look. Let's do the team. Let's do the players. I'll do this one quick because I don't think anybody was particularly good today. And I don't really want to rag on anybody individually other than Timo Werner, evidently. But we were not very good today. I don't think anybody really is leaving that game, are they? With their heads held high in terms of Tottenham personnel. Pretty poor performance overall. So let's do the players.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Guillermo Vicario tried his best, I think. Not particularly great. Look, whenever anyone's conceded four goals, a goalkeeper, you probably have to say they could have done a bit better, but is that harsh? I don't know. How protected was he? I think all of Newcastle's goals were pretty solid. I don't really recall much he could have done against any of them, but there were maybe a few times when I think maybe his distribution from the back wasn't actually that good and he didn't always pick the right pass. And yes, I'm sure some of that was under instruction, but whatever. Just, he conceded four goals today, so I'm not going to sit here and say he was brilliant. Pedro Porro, quite disappointing today, I thought. Gone off injured, which is still a concern. Day to forget for him. Christian Romero didn't look focused, didn't look switched on. Again, got frustrated as the game went on. We're conceding goals, getting into petty squabbles with Gimieres. Gave away, got himself booked pretty, you know, in a pretty nonsense fashion. He's supposed to be one of our vice captains. Again, chips are down. He hasn't grown up. He hasn't. And I think he's a very good player. Even when times have been good, I've always said on here pretty consistently, if anyone wants to watch back and see, I still have my concerns about him long term. And I don't think he is somebody that's in imminent need of replacing, but I'm still just not convinced by him. And today, again, didn't do a lot to kind of, you know, convince me otherwise. Mickey van der Ven, very much a day to forget for him. Probably his worst performance for Tottenham. Maybe the system didn't help him out. Maybe the players around him didn't help him out. But he was pretty much at fault personally for three of the goals. You know, he was caught out. He was run ragged by Newcastle's attack. And their third goal. He just wasn't switched on. He's a brilliant, wonderful player. He's probably one of the best defenders in the Premier League, or will be, let's say that, right? But a day to forget for him. He's a young player. Hopefully he will learn from this, because it was not a good performance from him today. Destiny Adoghi. So a few people have said to me in the past few weeks on here that he's not looking very good, and maybe it's just a bit of, you know, confirmation bias on that part, me hearing that and thinking that, but he wasn't very good today. Maybe he hasn't been very good for a few weeks. So, you know, what's the alternative though? You know, Ben Davis? I don't think so. You know, I think Destiny Adoghi is the sort of player I'm just happy to see try and play through this and learn from it, because he's a young player with immense potential and, you know, brilliant ability right now where he is. So, is what it is. Ibe Bissouma, just not great. Like, just hasn't been great for a while. Don't really know what's going on, if he's not fully fit. Remember, he has had malaria. I don't know. Whatever. Rodrigo Bentancur, again, another sort of player that we can't really make heads or tails of. Are his long-term injuries still bothering him? Is he better off the bench? Is he actually as effective as he used to be? I don't know. I don't think he was very good today. I don't think the control that he allowed us to have in the midfield when he came on in the last game was completely absent today. So what more can I say than that? Brennan Johnson, decent. I'll leave it at that. I don't want to go down that one. Timo Werner, don't buy him. We're going to, but I don't think we should buy him. I'm pretty much convinced on that now. I like him. He's a nice lad. He's a good player, but I don't think Timo Werner wins stuff for Tottenham. And you know what? If next year we win something and there's a picture of Timo Werner lifting up a trophy in a Tottenham shirt, please, by all means, feel free to send it my way. It will be the happiest I've been in a very long time. So, you know, send it my way. But will I see that? I don't think so. James Maddison had about 10 minutes where he was really good and then just got frustrated, disappeared, didn't do anything. Don't know what's going on there, mate. Not doing an awful lot to convince me that you're not some kind of a good time player. You know, there were a few games in our run-ins with Leicester with him down the years where he would either be taking the piss or he would be completely absent. And I don't know. Maybe there's a reason why none of the other big boys ever went in for him. Who knows? But I appreciate that's probably a bit of an emotional take. A bit annoyed these past few games. I do think he's a very, very, very talented footballer. But he's not showing it at the moment. Son Heung-min, day to forget for him. Not very good at all. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, when he came on, looked all right. I mean, there were a few wayward passes and he kind of, you know, ceded control as he often tends to do a bit. But I think he gave us at least a bit more control, even though Newcastle weren't really doing that much in the second half. Took their foot off the gas a bit. Is what it is. But fine. And he has been good when he has been called upon for the past few games. So what do I know? After my Højbjerg out agenda, I do think he will be leaving in summer still, though. So is what it is. Emerson Royale, fine, fair enough. Emerson enough type performance when he came on, but actually did it. I think he's missed a couple of headers. I think he was maybe partly at fault for their fourth goal. So it's just, it's prime to this. We need better rotation options for Porro and for Udogi. We need better backups to them. Backups that are more suited to the type of football that we play. There's a lot of talk that we're still going to go in for more attacking players this summer, that we're going to try and get another striker in, that we're going to try and get another wide forward in, maybe another centre-back. I'd have no idea why we're still not going for more players who can play in this, whatever you call it, wing-back role. Giovanni Lo Celso had about 30 seconds, so there's no point. Dejan Kulusevski held onto the ball. I think he played centrally, didn't he? Held onto the ball fairly comfortably at times. Didn't really do anything with it. It's going to be harsh to judge him on that strength of that. Pape Matar, I thought, was all right when he came on. Newcastle were really, really, really pressing that midfield and they got up in his face a couple of times. And I think that maybe almost spooked him a bit, but he was okay. And, I'm not going to blame him. It was just a non-performance from pretty much everybody there today. And one of them, again, a terrible, terrible afternoon at St. James's Park. An afternoon to forget. Just awful. We've had a run, you know, from the Fulham game. Luton, Forest, both poor performances that we managed to scrape over the line over against two of the worst sides in the Premier League. And then our first kind of semi-test today, and we got absolutely folded. Considering the fixtures that we have coming up now, Arsenal, Chelsea away, Liverpool away, even Burnley, you know, then City. It's just, it ain't looking good. What can I say? You know, we've been told for ages that, oh, it's just because we're playing against a low block. We weren't playing against a low block today and look what happened. There's, you know, something's got to give. I don't know what it is. Who knows? But it's not good. It's not good. Bit of an angry one today. So sorry. Sorry if that offends you. Please leave a like, leave a comment, leave a review, share the pod, share the whatever stream, wherever you can. Do have a Patreon as well. patreon.com/RTRpods. Where there's plenty of other things that go on during the week. Previews, Thursday, like Bulletin, where I speak to Phil, who's got a good chat. Funny guy, good guy. So come and join us for that and more stuff. more stuff this summer. I think we've got a few plans. Phil and I got a few plans in store. So we'll try and do some of that. But anyway, thanks for watching. Let's go and enjoy our weekends now. Let's hope that Arsenal, I mean, it will mean that Aston Villa move above us, but still, I don't want Arsenal to win the league. So whatever. Let's hope Arsenal lose. Let's hope City win and all that other stuff happens. Let's just hope for bad things to happen to Arsenal for the rest of the season and Spurs can maybe do whatever they're going to do. But for now, come on, you Spurs, up the Spurs. There'll be better days in store, I'm sure.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.